Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup.
Today's special guest host, Jeffrey Wright.
As soon as it drops, we're on a rampage. Bubbles popping up before you know.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday to you, wherever you may be. As the introduction suggests, my name is indeed Jeffrey Wright. Jeff Calkins is on the road, getting ready to drop off his youngest son at college. We will speak to him in just a moment. Let's tell you what we got coming up on the program. Of course, the Memphis Grizzlies return to action at the NBA campus today. And for the first time since arriving at the NBA campus, the Memphis Grizzlies do not have a full game lead over the 8 seed as the Portland Trail Blazers pick up a big win last night over the Denver Nuggets. They now have climbed within one half of a game of the Memphis Grizzlies. The Phoenix Suns, who are absolutely red hot, hot as a sun, you might say, down in the bubble, they have now pulled within two games as they are tied currently with San Antonio. Trailing them by half of a game are the Kings and Pelicans, respectively. Chris Harrington will discuss the latest with the Memphis Grizzlies with us at 10 o'clock. Then Jeff's going to rejoin the program during the second hour. It's Friday. It's Fish Friday, of course, with Charles Fishman. He will join us. But now, let's hit the music. Yeah. Good day, sir.
How are you, Jeffrey? I'm somewhere driving between Nashville and Durham. I don't know where the hell I am, actually. And it's sort of a momentous moment because I am 23 years ago. Ben just turned 23. My eldest just turned 23 this week. And so 23 years ago, I became a father and had brought a baby home to my house. And here we are 23 years later, exactly. I am dropping the last baby off at college. So basically 23 years of custodial parenting. Now some might point out they'll be back any moment. And that's, you know, an interesting twist. I actually, on the way back, I meet Andrew at UT Chattanooga and move him in for his sophomore year. And then Ben is actually actually home now working for Raymond James Investment Banking, but he's supposedly in the New York office, but his office is my ex-wife's living room right now. So, I mean, at the same times are different. But I was actually thinking, you have no experience with any of this because your first one hasn't arrived, but is the bigger moment when you drop your first kid off at college, that's like a moment, or when you drop your last kid off at college and then you become an empty nester? Like, there's the emotion of, oh, my God, the baby's going away, the first one, you know, and then there's, this is it. Like, this part of my life is done. And so which is bigger?
I think it's fascinating because, like, with my family has three boys as well, but we have a bigger age gap between us than your three boys. So my middle brother and I, we're about 22 months apart, but my youngest brother is about 8.5, 9 years younger than I am. So when they went to drop him off at college, there's kind of the element of, you know, what are my other two going to be employed? And so I think they're still worrying. And I think the first time, because you don't really know what the experience is, I just think it's always going to be more emotional.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, the first one, I mean, some people really dread the empty nest thing. I do not. And partly it's because one of the things about being divorced is that, like, that moment when you walk down to the bedroom and they're not there, right? And they've always been there and now they're off to college somewhere. Like, that's a, I think for a lot of people, a gut punch moment. If you're divorced and you've been sharing custody, every other week they're not there.
Right. You've already had that experience. You've already dealt with that. Yeah.
But walking away from Ben at the first time, when you dropped him off to college, I teared up a little bit. And I, you know, here's the thing. Peter is easily, of the three, the most outwardly emotional. So I was yesterday talking to him about how he felt. I asked, are you nervous? And he said, no, I'm not nervous. I'm sad. And I think that's, you know, my other two wouldn't have said that. You know, they would not have said, Andrew wouldn't have been sad particularly. And then he's not wired to be. And Ben probably wouldn't have said, you know, and Peter's the most emotive. And so it is like leaving that part of your life behind. I mean, I told him, I said, first of all, you might be back in Memphis in 3 weeks. But secondly, like, you can always move back to Memphis and reclaim a different Memphis life. You know, he loves Memphis. We all do. And but there is, you're leaving high school behind. You're leaving that part of your life behind. And so
I think for us, though, there was also an element of I went to California for college. My other two brothers went to play baseball in college, and they were, you know, one brother goes an hour away and the other brother goes 2.5 hours away. So if they needed to go see them, or, you know, like,
right,
there's that.
I think that's right. It's totally different. If you go to
correct.
Memphis, or you go to Ole Miss, or you go to, I mean, UT Knoxville is sick. Like, that's a good haul. You know, that's leaving your kid off of college. Ole Miss is very close. And obviously Memphis is close. Lemoyne Owen is close. Christian Brothers is close. Even there, I think you fashion your own experience, and it's different than being, you know, being a high school kid who's there every dinner. So anyway, it's a life, and then you just think back, and it's funny, when I think back over the last 23 years, I don't think of the triumphs. Like, that's not what I think about, right? I don't think, boy, there was a time Peter made All-State band, you know? I think about all of the anxiety. And I think the illusion is that you kind of hope that they stop, right? That when they go to college, like, you're through this period and you don't worry as much anymore. I think as your parents and your experience with your folks has shown, that's not true. Like, they keep worrying about you. You can have troubles in your 20s or whatever, or your 30s. And so I think this idea that I'm sort of past the worrying stage is an illusion. I do feel a sense of satisfaction that I've gotten them to this point where they're all, you know, heading off to college and all of that. But yeah, what I think about is, you know, Peter getting in trouble for setting the stink bomb off the dance at Lausanne, and Ben being
classic move.
Ben being being vice president of student council there for a week before he was caught with beer on his college trip. And I don't know if I told you this.
It was by the way, was that the best week Lausanne's ever had? You know, just it ran just smoothly.
It was like a Camelot. It was that those 2 weeks that Ben was vice president of student council before being stripped of it because he was one of six kids caught with beer on the college trip. I mean, but then you get that call from the administration. Honestly, how about this one? I don't know if I ever talked about this one. Peter, I think I might have. I don't really know. Peter was arrested once before. He and a friend, I don't want to give the other friend's name.
You only want to air out your own son?
Yeah, so we'll pretend the friend's name was Jeffrey, because it isn't.
Okay.
And so the friend said, there's a street sign in Bartlett called Jeffrey Road, and I want to go take the street sign.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and Peter snuck out. Now, he objects to this characterization. He was at his mom's house, and he snuck out with this Jeffrey kid at 2 in the morning. To go steal the sign. And I said to Peter, later on, you know that was you. You snuck out. He said, I didn't sneak out. At mom's house, you don't have to sneak out. You just go.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, let's go. Lawyered.
Yeah, right.
At my house, you would have had to sneak out. There, it's like at an open whatever policy, so you can go whenever you want. So he objected vehemently to the characterization that he snuck out. But anyway, so they went and found they dug up Jeffrey Drive, and they had the street sign in their car. And then they noticed that there was a Peter Lane.
And well, so I mean, you might as well get the complete set at that point.
Right. So they go to get Peter Lane, and they're sitting there in the car. They're sitting there at 3 a.m. in their car, looking at the Peter Lane sign, thinking, "Huh, do we want to does it look like this one we can get?"
Well, we're here.
And they were sitting there, and that's when the police pulled up behind them for just being in a neighborhood, sitting there. Loitering.
At 3 a.m.
And then he comes walking up, and the police officer says, "Huh, what's that in the back of your car?" And then Julie gets the, to be clear, Peter doesn't have the police call me. Like, Peter, he gets one call, and it's to his mother, not to his father, that's for sure. And I remember Ben breaking his femur when he was 8 months old, and those are the things that it is interesting that maybe it's like being a sports fan. The losses sting more than the wins. The losing hurts more than the wins reward you.
Well, what I think is interesting is, if you would have been in that scenario, are you calling mom or dad? Because I do think there's an element. I understand, like, your parents were divorced, but, like, in general, I think everyone knows who they're calling first and when they get in trouble.
Oh, I think, and for everyone, I don't think it's always the mom. Like,
no,
I
for me, it's dad. Because my dad's an accomplished sales guy. So if I'm going to get out of it, I have a small chance of getting out of trouble. But if I am going to get out of trouble, I'm calling dad.
Yeah, that's not with us, the reason he would call mom and not dad is I'm just stricter. She connects emotionally with them. She does. She's more just 100% supportive, and I'm more, why did you get a B? And I hate to say that's just true. Like, I'm more the taskmaster. I'm more, and they don't want to disappoint me, and they don't think I'm as nice. Like, honestly, like, I was the tough guy. Like, I was the, whereas in my family growing up, mom was the enforcer, and so the dad was just always off at work,
Yes, and I think there's an element of that, because in my household, mom was the law.
Yeah, I think for every person out there, and I'd be interested, they can tweet us. I can't look at the Twitter because I'm driving, and that would be irresponsible. But you can.
And I don't believe you.
Who do you call when you're a kid when you get in trouble? I don't feel particularly emotional. I'm sure I will be. And then, of course, dropping your kid off in the age of COVID is different, A, because you never know, they might see him again in a minute. And B, because usually when you're dropping your kid off, there's a whatever. You might go out to dinner, lunch
sure.
after, or sort of a little bit of a weekend aspect to it. Here, Peter gets his COVID test, moves into his dorm, isn't allowed to leave for 48 hours or something until he gets his, you know, it's like moving into the NBA bubble, and we're just supposed to leave. And now they get two people to help move in. A lot of colleges are saying one person can move you in, but we both get to, his mom and I both get to help him move in, so we're doing that. But then you just turn around and leave. Like, I'll see him for, you know, 2 hours. We put him in there, and then we're off. And then I got to go kill some time before I move. And very different Chattanooga. I don't think they're doing testing in Chattanooga. And
state of Tennessee.
Well, it is just different, you know. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is just different. And that gets to, well, I guess we talk about Dame Lillard, too. Here's what I objected to. Yes, this is probably the last morning, by the way, celebrated people, that we will talk to you with the Grizzlies in eighth place.
Having a lead.
It was sweet. While no one would have imagined it would be gone this fast, within a week. I mean, they're good. Like, by tomorrow morning, they won't ever leave, right?
No, I could have imagined a scenario where they fell, I guess, to 9, but, I mean, in reality...
Not within... You know,
I would have had to have thought it would have been the last day, or I could have seen movement then, but no. I mean, I also didn't expect them to be 0-4 at this point. I thought they would have at least gotten one win.
Didn't expect to have 3 injuries. So, but the irritating thing about Dame, and obviously he's a great player, there's no question. And in some ways we should hate Portland. They're a small market team. Who have a hard time adding stars to their stars and have some of the same challenges that Memphis has, right? So, and Portland, honestly, is a nice city. I like Portland when we went there. Dame is now, there's a story I'm saying, this is why I wasn't going to go play unless I had a chance, right? Now Dame is all vindicated because he's saying, if I didn't have a chance, I wasn't going to play in the bubble. And this is what they were never going to bring Portland without giving him a chance. That was not good. If they brought them back, they were going to have a chance. At the moment he said it, and now to be vindicated, to feeling vindicated because of it, which is partly, by the way, and partly the Grizzlies' injuries are playing into the whole thing, partly why he could be triumphant. But
in fairness to your point of, you know, could I imagine it? I also did not imagine the Grizzlies losing probably their best offensive weapon and also losing their only backup point guard and Justice Winslow, or, you know, one of the wings.
Right.
You don't think three guys are going to get hurt. You don't think three guys are going to get hurt in this short of a period of time.
The whole thing is, yeah. So Grizzlies obviously play Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City has looked very good. This doesn't seem like it's going to go well for the Grizzlies. But I'll be honest, I'm not even invested at this point. You know, Gary yesterday asked me what the good news or the bad news. The good news was the Pelicans getting dropped. The bad news was who was sitting out everybody. Utah was going to sit out everybody, right, against San Antonio. So I'm not wrapped up in it anymore. I don't think there's really any gain at this point to finishing 9th. Like, I don't care. Right. If they finish 9th, they're not going to beat Portland twice to get the playoff spot. Even if they got the playoff spot, they're going to just get thoroughly drugged. I'm not invested anymore. And I don't mean that like I'm invested in the long-term success of this team. I'm invested in how Ja looks. I'm invested in lots of things. I'm not invested in them. I'm not like, oh, are they going to be able to hold on to 8? Oh, are they going to be able to hold on to 9? I've given up. And I feel totally different about it, and it didn't go well, and it's fine. And you regroup this summer, and you come back with Justice and with Jaren. And it does, I think, remind us what's happening. You look around with the sun being so, as you say, blazing hot, and with Portland and looking at what Golden State's going to do, it does remind you that next year is going to be, you know, not the you can't pencil the Grizzlies in for a playoff spot just because they were an 8th when the quote-unquote regular season ended this time around. You know, there's a lot of teams that are on the and who's given who from the playoff teams this year who's going to drop off? I mean, you could say San Antonio, but they never do. You know, like that.
Well, and they had injuries. I think what this has shown, and this is kind of how I felt for much of the year, the Grizzlies did overachieve. There's no denying that. I mean, they beat their win projection basically, you know, in February. But the reason why the Grizzlies were, you know, even if they were going to be, you know, 35 and 47, which is probably kind of like where they were on track, that was going to be that coming into the season, that was going to be probably 12th in the West.
Yeah, they did not overachieve to be a playoff level team. They just happened to be in eighth spot because the West cratered, the bottom of the West cratered.
Correct.
This year. And so they have a big leap to get to 46 wins, right? You know, which is what they're going to have to do. And it's a big leap against a really tough West. And again, what team is going to drop off? I don't know. Like, I don't see a team. Is Denver going to be bad next year? San Antonio, they got LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan, and, you know, they're going to win games and pop. So they're going to win games, right?
You can see it. And
Utah?
Well, you can envision a world where the Thunder, you know, Chris Paul played arguably some of his best basketball of his career, and this is a Hall of Fame caliber player. You can envision a world where he's not able to replicate that again, and maybe the Thunder drop off. But I don't know. I mean, coming into the season next year, I would imagine Vegas is going to have. Obviously, the Warriors are not going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They're going to be in front of the Grizzlies. I would think the Pelicans are going to be in front of the Grizzlies. The Spurs are going to be in front of the Grizzlies. The Trailblazers.
I think everyone who's currently in front of the Grizzlies is going to be in front of the Grizzlies. That puts you at eight, right?
Yes.
But then, so Warriors bumps you to ninth. Pelicans bumps you to 10th. San Antonio bumps you to 11th. Portland bumps you to 12th. I mean, you know, a Phoenix, like, where's Phoenix? Is it roughly where, you know, same territory? It's going to be tough next year. It's why you hope the swing that you took at with Winslow, it really is important that works out, because we're seeing the limitations of this roster. Even when they were healthy, we're seeing some of the limitations of this roster and how important it is to add effective wings. And so, you know, the Justice Winslow thing has to work. The other thing I want to talk about, and I'm going to come back and join you all when Fishman joins us in the second hour. I'll let you talk to Jason and to Chris Harrington. I'll rejoin the conversation when Fishman is here. Is college football, and I just was reflecting on, you know, everything that we happened yesterday, and I thought the most remarkable things from the Laird Veach interview were when I asked him if he thought they'd play 11 games, he just came out and said no, you know, and that is the obvious right answer, right? Of course, but it is, you don't always hear that. You don't hear that kind of straight shooting from people. So that was interesting to me. And then the fact that it really is fascinating. And I know some people are mad because I've checked out some of the message boards about the 4,500 that are being allowed in the Liberty Bowl. And I will say this, I think Memphis is doing the best they can, given these circumstances. I thought they did a great rollout. They've been honest and transparent with people. They're asking for help. They're doing the best they can in difficult circumstances. I think people should respect that. And if they have the money, I don't want to tell them how to spend their money, but if they believe in Memphis, then it's an important time to step up. I said all that yesterday. But what's interesting to me is how different, in the same way that, high school football, Shelby County, they're not playing it, but they are elsewhere in the state, I do think Memphis is being, quote-unquote, penalized rationally. I'm not blaming the health department, but we have a responsible health department. You can say what you want about how they handle restaurants and whatever else. I'm not saying it's perfect, but fundamentally, a health department that is putting the safety of the community and stopping the spread ahead of everything else, right? And you know, Philip Fulmer over in I'll be interested to see how it works out in Knoxville and how it works out in Mississippi, because at Ole Miss, because I think those two are, you know, still contemplating or aiming or I gather for like half capacity. Is that your understanding?
Yes, my understanding is that Keith Carter and Glenn Boyce, Keith Carter is the athletics director now at Ole Miss, and Glenn Boyce is the chancellor. They made a proposal to Tate Reeves, the governor of Mississippi, to have half capacity. As of yesterday, that proposal was not accepted, and Reeves is standing firm on nothing more than 25%. But you know, I'm kind of slow to want to criticize anyone in this position, because if I'm, you know, Keith Carter's basically said, you know, for us to break even, we need to be 50% capacity. So I understand his position, and I understand.
But I mean, I hate to say it, the driving force should not be we need to break even. I mean, like, it should be, in the end, I don't begrudge anyone trying to survive. Right, I don't. Everyone is trying to survive, but 50% capacity is freaking insane. Insane. Mississippi has one of the highest per capita outbreaks in the whole country, and they're talking about getting what is the capacity there?
It's a little bit over. I think it's around 64,000.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Like, if and they're having to quote unquote settle for 25%. If Memphis could have had 25%, they would have been thrilled. 25% gets you 15,000 people, and as if you heard Laird say, if we could have had 15,000, we could have taken care of all our season tickets. Now, he would have moved them. They would have been socially distanced and moved and everything else. But he said when they was at 16, it was they thought they could get 15,000 in, and then they would have been able to take care of all their season ticket holders, and there would have been still some grumbling. But they, you know, very few would have opted out at that point, right? They would have gone, and that feels like nirvana compared to what they have. And yet, for 25% to be to have to settle for it, I do think this is an example of a university putting the freaking cart before the horse, like misguided priorities, asking for 50%. I think it's freaking insane. And in Tennessee, they're talking about the same thing. So Tennessee, Fulmer talked about this last Friday, I believe.
Yes.
And what did he say?
Essentially what he said was, you know, we're still hopeful. You know, he's like, you know, he acknowledged when he said, you know, we're going to have a full Neyland Stadium. He acknowledged, okay, well, that's not happening. We're hopeful for 50, but, you know, right now it's probably looking like what everyone else is doing, 20 to 25%.
Well, and again, and that's what he said, what everyone else is doing. Again, it drives home what a difficult position Memphis is in. They would love to have 20 to 25%. 25% would be nirvana for them, and instead, so you're going to have 25%. And what it makes you realize, honestly, is that, and I just experienced, so I stayed at a hotel for only the second time since COVID last night. And I so happened to be that there's a motorcyclers there, right, at my hotel. And the hotel was large, mostly full, and very little mask, just by anybody. And you just realize that suburban white America does not take this seriously.
I would push back on that. I don't think it's suburban white America. I think it's rural white America.
Okay, that may be it. That country. It's not really country. We're not talking about people with cows necessarily. We're just talking about people who live in where did I just stay last night, Crossville or whatever. Like, yeah, they don't really give a damn about this. They don't think it's real. You know, they don't take it seriously. And it's what we saw in that. Charles is going to talk about this when he joins us. What we saw in that Georgia school district where the halls are so packed, right? And what you see in Mississippi, and what you see in East Tennessee, and what you see that part of the world is what the world I'm talking about. And obviously, I am stereotyping. I'm making broad generalizations. Lots of people take it seriously everywhere. Some people don't take it seriously, no matter where you are. I'm engaging in generalizations, and I'm not. applies to everybody. But generally speaking, I do think, you know, in Knoxville and in the funny thing is, Oxford as a city has taken it very seriously, right?
Yes, they have been. Yes, they've had. I want to say Oxford might even had mask ordinances before Memphis.
Yeah,
but yeah.
So anyway, we'll see how that goes. It does make you feel bad for Memphis by, you know, Memphis already compared to Knoxville and Oxford, compared to Mississippi and Tennessee, already has so many disadvantages. And now to have to deal with, you know, get 4,500 in a 60,000 seat stadium instead of 15,000. That's another really difficult thing for them, but it is a responsible thing to do. And, you know, and hopefully we'll come out the other side healthy because of it. But, and then the other thing that happened yesterday was the last day for NFL players to opt in or opt out. C.J. Mosley is opting out, and he's obviously a great player. I don't think the Jets really care because it's a suck year for them. You know, the Jets aren't good. You think the Jets are going to be a factor this year?
No, I could see, though. See, the Jets are in an interesting position because, as you point out, like, yes, you can, you know, it may not be bad for them. It allows them to get, you know, better draft position, whatnot. But they're also in a weird year where it feels like the jury's still out on Sam Darnold. And
well, no, you wouldn't want an offensive lineman to opt out, right?
Correct.
Because you need Darnold to make a step this year. There's no question about that. So you would like, but if it's a linebacker, and so just they're going to give up more points, and it's not going to get Darnold killed. I think you're exactly right. It is a big year for Darnold. I mean, Darnold in that athletics quarterback tier rating thing that they did.
Yeah.
And he ranked behind Josh Allen. Like, that's pretty bad. You know, Josh Allen can't hit the broad side of a barn, and Darnold was behind him. In their tier rating. Not much, but a little bit. He was in the same tier, but he was a couple spots behind, I believe. So it's a big year for him. It's a big year for, like, the quarterbacks in that class.
Oh, yeah. It's a big year, like, for Baker.
I mean, this is it. It's the third year. Big year for Josh Allen. Big year for Baker. Big year for Darnold. Obviously, Lamar's already proven what he is. And, you know, who knows, can he replicate it? But it's not really a big year for him because he's already proven it. Is there anyone else in that class? But those three. Josh Rosen.
I was saying, rest in peace, Josh Rosen.
Where the hell is he still in Miami now? Where the hell is he now?
Yeah, I saw him running wind sprints with him, Tua, and Fitzmagic. So he's, you know, he's the third quarterback there. I was hoping,
you know,
that I was hoping,
like,
that Belichick could get him.
Yeah, I would like him as my third quarterback. You know, a reclamation project. You do see occasional. I mean, there are quarterbacks who bounce around. And then, you know, Jim Plunkett was the first
sure.
one, you know, and you know, came back and had Super Bowl years and stuff. But there are others. Rich Gannon was never, like, anything, right, until he became an All-Pro.
Yeah.
And so there are, I mean, Drew Brees to a lesser extent. But, you know, Drew Brees was traded for him, you know, was let go from, you know, because in favor of Phillip Rivers. So he was not all bad.
I mean, Tannehill to an extent.
Tannehill, absolutely, another one. He turned into be a very effective quarterback, obviously in Nashville last year. So I haven't completely given up on Josh Rosen. I you know, obviously there's something missing there, right? But what a difficult circumstance he's had. Anyway, so you had data on the position groups. What is this data?
Yes, so 66 total players opted out for the 2020 NFL season. The other kind of little notes about players opting out is that every team, with the exception of the Steelers, I think it was the Steelers and the Falcons, had at least one player opt out. But I have the total number of players by position. I should let you know, they do not, offensive linemen are not lumped together. It's offensive tackles, offensive guards, and centers each. So even if you're a left or
right. I would have said offensive linemen. Would that have been, if they had been lumped together, offensive linemen would have been the.
Correct. Yes, that would have been 20 of the 66 were offensive linemen.
Wow. Well, let's set them aside then. We're going to lump them together in a group, okay? We're going to call the offensive linemen. To me, that makes sense because offensive linemen are the, you would think, at most at risk, right? I mean, but offensive linemen, and I don't know if this is true if you look at the names, but they tend to be giant people who may have problems breathing, may be overweight, like the most inclined to be of anyone, right? And also pretty smart, generally speaking. So I think offensive linemen, it makes all the sense in the world that they're the group that, like, so within that group, guards lead the way?
No, actually offensive tackles. I would have thought the same way you did, but no, it was actually offensive tackles.
Because they're less mobile, less athletic, less lean. Bigger, you know, that's why I was
more mass.
Tackle. More masses. Yeah, they're road graders, right?
Yeah. Offensive tackles led the way with 11 players. They were also tied with this position group.
I would say, I mean, my next guess would be defensive linemen.
That is not the case.
Not correct, really.
No, that is the, okay. That they are third.
Defensive linemen are third.
With 10.
Well, then we'll go, I'll tell you what I'm picking between. It's like, I haven't heard many running backs. I don't think any quarterbacks.
There are two total running backs. There are no quarterbacks.
I don't think many receivers. They don't want to, they need their shine, right?
Do they? Or is it, is there a drama queen element? Is there a diva element?
Really? Receivers?
11 receivers have opted out.
I would think they would want their shine, and they would want their, and they're also, you know, tend to be lithe, athletic, whatever people, you know.
And they're away from the ball.
Yeah, I'm surprised by that. I would have guessed. I mean, just I would have done it exactly. It was closer to the ball, so I would have defensive lineman. Then I probably would have gone linebackers. Then I would have gone defensive backs. Probably, you know, last I would have said receivers.
So the list is 11 wide receivers. 11 offensive tackles, 10 defensive tackles, 7 guards, 7 linebackers, 6 corners, 3 safeties, 3 tight ends, 2 centers, 2 fullbacks. That one stunned me. 2 defensive ends and 2 running backs.
Man.
Do we lose you? Jeff? I think he's gone. I think we've lost him. I think we lost Jeff. It's okay, though. He's going to return. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. We thought we lost you.
Yeah, I thought I did, too. If you add the defensive ends, I said defensive linemen. I didn't realize they were separated out, too. Do I win?
The problem is a lot of these some of those defensive ends are really like outside linebackers. You know what I mean?
All right, well, I'll let you go, and Jason Smith coming up next.
Whoa, 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 before we do that, though, you got to tell me where you bank, because I always forget where it is.
Oh, yeah, Triumph Bank, of course. Triumph Bank is, and it's not just where I bank anymore, because what's happened during this pandemic is people have realized who's got their back and who doesn't, right? That literally is partly what has happened here. At a moment of crisis, who has your back? And what a lot of folks have realized is that their bank, for one reason or another, did not have their back. And so I have gotten, since the pandemic, more text, emails, requests. What is your bank again? And I tell them with great satisfaction, Triumph Bank is my bank. Because at the moment of crisis, you want someone, a bank that has your back. And Triumph does. Triumph always has. They're located in Memphis. They have all the financial muscle and technological wizardry that you could possibly want. But they also got your back. It is Triumph Bank. They're investing in the community and making banking easy for you. I will be back to talk to Fishman in the second hour. Jason Smith coming up next. Chris Harrington after that. Jeff Gawkins, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Have you ever realized that the best way to say yes to something is to say no to its counterpart? There is an interesting expression of it in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul says, "Do not get drunk with wine, which will only ruin you. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians 5:18. It works. You can eliminate the negative by accentuating the positive. The best way to get rid of a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. William Glazer has written a book on the dynamic in which he calls it positive addiction. What are some things to which you might become positively addicted? Physical exercise, good eating habits, deliberate unselfishness, refusing to repay evil with evil, holding back rather than jumping to conclusions, refusing to believe the worst by holding to the best. It's a good discipline, learning to say yes by first saying no. I'm Shane Stanford with Christ Church Memphis. Remember, you matter.
Visit ChristChurchMemphis.org.
Hey everybody, this is Coach Penny Hardaway. When I want to throw a party for friends or family, I want it to be a taste of Memphis, and that means Corky's Barbecue. Order online or call ahead and pick up at their speedy drive-thru. And be sure to tell them that Penny sent you.
The way Paul Cowers phrased it to me is, it's on full blown, no holds barred. And he was talking, of course, about O'Call's semi-annual sale. It'll never be better than it is right now, with savings on all spring and summer merchandise throughout the store. Women's clothing is 50 to 70% off. Men's clothing is 30 to 50% off. And there's new merchandise arriving every single day. I'd go just to check out the brand new performance knit shirts. Brand new patterns, brand new styles. It's still hot out there, isn't it? Now is the time to get the performance knits you need. As for me, my eldest son Ben celebrated his 23rd birthday the other day, and I've already promised I'll take him to the semi-annual sale. His wardrobe needs some freshening up as he starts a new job after college. Plus, we'll get some new five-pocket pants by Brax and by Peter Millar. Whatever you need, there's simply no better time to stop in and see your friends at O'Call. It is their semi-annual sale, and it's no holds barred.
No matter where you live has never mattered more. For over 100 years, realtors have brought local knowledge and deep expertise to helping people find new places they can live, dream, and thrive. Places you can call home. Now and always, we are neighbors who care in the communities we serve. That's not just what we do, it's who we are. When you're ready, look for the R. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
For muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything. And special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit Dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
Buying some pretzel sticks?
Excuse me?
This is your wake-up call from TrackPhone Wireless.
Okay.
What if you didn't eat all those pretzel sticks by the end of the month, so this store took them back?
Good luck.
That's how some wireless companies are with your data, but TrackPhone Wireless gives you unlimited carryover data with active service, so you keep what you pay for. Plans start at $20 a month.
Wow, that's cool.
Sir, are you bothering the customers?
Yeah, hang on.
This is your wake-up call, people. TrackPhone Wireless. Now you're in control.
See terms and conditions at trackphone.com.
All right, I'm here with Macaulay Williams, who is the CEO of BR Distilling, where you can pick up Riverset Rye whiskey and Blue Note. Macaulay, thanks for being here with me, man. I wanted to ask you a few questions about Riverset. It's made right here in Memphis. How important is that for you guys to keep Riverset local, to be a local business and a local Memphis drink?
Yeah, we're Memphians. We wanted to produce a product by Memphians for Memphians. It's crafted right here in Memphis. And I got to say that the heat and humidity lend itself to the aging process, and then we have great water, as we all know, that really help us make a great whiskey.
How do you get away with this thing being $29.99? I just think that's a really accessible price point, really affordable.
Well, it's not magic, John. We really wanted to create a product that was affordable and approachable for those that are experienced whiskey drinkers and then those that are new to whiskey drinking. So we wanted to make sure that we had a product that was accessible by the entire city of Memphis.
Go against the current, join the Rye Rebellion, and pick up a bottle bottle of Riverset Rye Whiskey today.
The best radio stations in America live on radio.com. Atlanta's V103, number one for hip-hop and R&B. The world-famous 106.7 KROQ, LA and Orange County's alternative. Chicago's finest rock, 93 XRT. Alice at 97.3 with the Bay Area's best music and lots more. Find them and listen to what you want when you want on radio.com, on your desktop, smart speakers, or the free radio.com app.
Need a job? The Wing Guru's expanding and needs great employees. Join the fastest growing franchise in the Mid-South. For scholarship assistance and to apply, visit thewingguru.com.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, you better get ready for a brand new day. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Because Jason Smith is, of course, the co-host of the Jason and John Show weekdays. Right here on 92.9 FM ESPN from 11 to 2. He's on Twitter at JasonSmith929. Jason, we're going to get into a couple of sports topics, including we actually have a Cubs-Cardinals series. Surprise. Yeah. For the first time, I think it's the first time in 13 days, all 30 teams are scheduled to actually play today. Yep. So we'll discuss that momentarily. But Jeff was discussing when you got in trouble as a kid, you only get to pick one, and you got to make the phone call. You calling mama or are you calling dad?
Mom was the disciplinarian.
Yeah, I was in the same boat.
She had the, we're not talking about paddles or anything, but when it came to
mom
was the
law.
You in your place, yeah, she was the law. And so it was always to dad, who seemed to be a little bit more understanding, a little bit more giving in terms of, maybe a little mercy. And, mine was always dad because my brother and I could get over on him in terms of, impact, what kind of punishment we were going to be facing. Whereas mom, there was no getting over on her. So that pretty simple for me. It was always a call to Les Smith.
Yeah, I was in that same boat. It's, mom ran the house. Mom was a disciplinary. It's not that she didn't love us. It's not, not that it didn't support us. It's like, your best chance. You're not in a good spot anyway, but my best chance of getting out of it was probably my dad. But let's turn our attention to a couple of other things. The Grizzlies now, for the first time since arriving at the NBA campus, they no longer have a full game lead on the 8 seed. They take on the Thunder this afternoon, 3 o'clock start locally. Right now, about a 4.5-point line in favor of the Thunder. When you look at just big picture and, forget about roster building, forget about whatnot, is this an actual disappointment for fans?
No question. I just think there's levels to it, Jeffrey. There's no question. And there's proper levels to this thing. I don't think you can get too down in the dumps. And number one, and look, if you're a Pelicans fan right now, I think you should be a little bit further down. And we can sit here and say, well, Pelicans are young too. They got a rookie in Zion, fastest to 500 since Allen Iverson. It's amazing how much we see that and the amazing about that and not the actual loss to Sacramento and the fact that they're 1-3 in the bubble. They should be more disappointed than the Grizzlies. And yes, the Grizzlies had the 3.5-game lead, but the Pelicans had the easy schedule. And the Pelicans aren't missing, their best offensive player in Jaren Jackson. We see now how much Tyus Jones meant to this team. That second unit, obviously, you don't have him as well. You don't have Justice Winslow, which we know, we don't know how big of a piece he would have been in this bubble, but we know he was going to be one. That organization certainly intended to get a look at him. And so, there are some reasons for Memphis where it is right now, particularly the Jackson injury. And so for New Orleans, they don't have those. And so to get back to your question about disappointment levels, New Orleans should be much more disappointed. And for Memphis, yes, disappointing because, again, you'd had your heart fixed, your mind fixed on a series with the Lakers, before the bubble plan even came together and then through the plan and all that. Then you see that, okay, the NBA is going to count the 3.5-game lead. Yes, the schedule's tough, but if you could just win 2-3 games, maybe you could still hold on being the play-in series. So it's been Lakers, Lakers, Lakers for a while now. And so you get the sort of disappointment level when you you realize now that there's a chance, you know, the Grizzlies can get passed up by two teams. That said, the opportunity is still there to take it. I think right now, instead of worrying so much about making a playoff series with the Lakers, you know, just hope that you can get some that Grayson Allen continues to be consistent from the field. Right now, it's just about, you know, for me, getting a win, yes, getting off the schneid, and Ja Morant continuing to be aggressive. But right now, you're really just kind of playing for development and improvement. And if you do it well enough, right, just kind of focus on the task at hand, maybe you get the benefit, the extra of playing in the play-in series and possibly beyond. So right now, it's really just go out there and play the best basketball you can shorthanded. Try to get yourself a win, get off this schneid for your confidence level, and then see what happens from there. But, at this point, if you're still helping on making the playoffs and it's going to feel like some huge loss if they don't, I think you're fooling yourself at this point. The expectation level at this point should have been lowered, particularly after you lose Jaren. I think that's where most people are at.
I think it's also this weird dynamic of, because of the long layoff, you know, for the restart, there was such a desire to watch them play again. It almost felt like it heightened the stakes. And I almost feel as if, had the season just played out, you know, if the pandemic doesn't occur and, you know, you just play all 82 games in the normal way and the Grizzlies would have gotten past, I don't feel like it would have maybe stung as much. Do you think that's fair?
I think that's fair. I mean, look, how long have we been saying this team's ahead of schedule now? And then you get into those months where they're not playing, and you talk to the expert to come in and say, well, John, Jaren, we think they can be the best point guard, big man tandem in the next 5 years. And you start really maybe, and even Jeffrey, forgetting about, yeah, they're ahead of schedule, but there's still a ton of work to do. And so, yes, I think Jeffrey, quite frankly, in our minds, they got better during the break. You know what I mean? I mean, this chance, that us constantly repeating their head of schedule, this they're going to play the Lakers in the first round, it's all going to be gravy. Because if you look at it right now, I heard you and Jeff discussing it, like next year they won't be favored to be back in the playoffs. And next year Portland will be back. And you know, maybe OKC falls out, but Golden State will be back. And so I wonder, too, if we got not ahead of ourselves, Jeffrey, because we're capable of keeping things in perspective here, but if in our minds they got a lot better in the West during this break, right, in our minds, and we've been sort of jolted back to reality in terms of how far this team's got to go in terms of maturity level, playing up to teams' levels, particularly experienced teams' levels, in playoff caliber games like they have been. So, I would subscribe to your theory because I think that break sort of our Grizzlies got a lot better than they were. That said, they're still in good position.
Yeah, sure. I like how you said that. The break kind of made them the absence made the heart grow fonder. And I think that's really, that kind of hits the nail on the head, because to me, you know, I think a big aspect with this team also is, this team was a lot of fun to watch, and I think maybe that also contributed to the making them better, you know, kind of in our minds, because, you know, while the stakes were low, you know, this team just played an exciting brand, and we hadn't really seen it, and it was kind of fun to get wrapped up in, and I think that 100% contributed to it. And then I think we kind of lost sight of, you know, part of the reason why they were in the eight spot. They did overachieve to an extent, but under normal circumstances, even with the overachieving, they probably, you know, had the season played out like it normally does, they probably would have been somewhere between 11, 12, 13 in the West. But because of injuries, because of some teams disappointing, they found themselves there. And I think it was almost this false sense of security, because the reality of the situation is, when you look at the Grizzlies' schedule against the teams that were in the bubble, or the Grizzlies' record against teams that were in the bubble versus everyone else that they were going up against, their records in the bubble, the Grizzlies were clearly at the bottom of that pecking order. It feels like we lost sight of that.
Yeah, I mean, these guys aren't finished products. That's the bottom line. And for much as we love Ja Morant and we've crowned him superstar already, he's not a guy who had been in those situations. And so it's a matter of him learning and picking his spots. You know, DeAnthony Melton could do no wrong outside of the bubble. And so you sort of say, well, that's a piece going forward. He can do everything. And then you get back, well, okay, that maybe that's why that's the DeAnthony beforehand that that you know you got from Phoenix, and so it's sort of that, right? We've told ourselves Brandon Clark, one of the steals of the draft, and he is what the most efficient player in terms of field goal percentage for guys averaging 10 as a rookie in terms of rookies. You say okay, but then you see him, you know, come out 6-5 in replacement of Jaren, you realize, well, wait a minute, that's not a finished product. Jaren with yes, defensively looked better, but still, you know, defending without fouling is still a thing for him. And so that's the thing that the break did. It was almost like we treated these guys like they were finished products, like we knew automatically what they did outside the bubble was what was going to happen inside the bubble. That said, too, I mean, come on, the bubble's kind of freaky. I mean, it's been a little bit freaky. Just look at Phoenix's record. And so you got to kind of put that in there as well. And here's the other thing. No excuses. The Grizzlies have had chances to win these games. And so you could be sitting here with a completely different narrative. That said, it doesn't change that much. This was all still gravy. And I think it still remains that way for the Grizzlies. You want to play. Look, you know, we're sitting here rooting for Toronto and OKC, you know, Toronto, Boston, Milwaukee, OKC to maybe lay off a little bit. Maybe you sit some guys. But really the best thing for this team is that those teams go balls to the walls for them, because for their development, while we may not like it in terms of this play-in series and them making it, for their development, that's the best thing for them. I mean, this was always going to be learn your lessons now for later. That's what it always was.
Building more scar tissue, I think, is always an advantage in terms of with a young team and trying to get, you know, ahead of schedule, as we like to say. I'm curious from your perspective. I had a couple of buddies last night, and we were discussing kind of the way the bubble went. And the theory that was proposed was if Ja Morant doesn't slip on that final possession of Portland. It almost feels as if, because we're of the mindset, we don't like when people don't think that there's cause and effect in sports. Like, it definitely matters. And there was the idea that if they just finish that play and they win that game, this entire thing may look differently, because I think probably they come out with a different attitude against the Spurs. I don't really know how that Pelicans game was going to go. I think that was kind of a tough spot in hindsight. And, you know, obviously we don't know how the Jaren Jackson injury and whatnot, but do you subscribe to the theory that if they could have just pulled that one off, maybe we're sitting here and looking at things differently?
Possibly. I mean, I do. I'm whatever you want to call it, superstitious, whatever, cause and effect. There is some of that in me. So some of it. Now, you know, are you still losing Jaren? You know,
I mean, in the end, the reason why they're in these dire straits is they don't have their best offensive weapon. They don't have their only backup point guard, and they lost another wing, and they traded two other wings for that wing that's hurt.
4-8 this season without Jaren Jackson. So it was always going to be tough anytime without him in the lineup. That said, I mean, look, if he didn't hit a shot, there's a good chance he gets fouled. Now, he's also a rookie in the league, but you feel like, you know, to some degree, especially in a situation like that, he's earned the respect. So it felt like there was a real opportunity there, and it could have gone the other way. I wonder more, Jeffrey, rather than, hey, maybe the Grizzlies are in a different spot. I wonder if Portland doesn't catch fire the way it has.
Yeah.
If it's still in a way doubting itself. Like, because, I mean, now, you know, you look at them, they're beating Denver, they're beating everybody in front of them, and you just wonder if what happened there changes at all. Maybe you know, Dame and them, they look at it after that first game and say, damn, yeah, we blew this.
Yeah.
And the confidence level isn't there. You helped with a little bit, that little small fire that they've had burning ever since the NBA announced its plan. Okay, you guys are going to be able to come back in this thing. You know, it only got bigger after that win. So I wonder more, would they still be in the same spot with now Dame breathing down on your neck if Ja had hit that shot? I wonder more how it would have affected them. But, yeah, Grizzlies with Jaren, I just don't know. Once you hit that marker, I just don't know how much saving there was to do here.
Jason, we appreciate it, buddy. Thank you so much.
Take care, brother. Have a great weekend.
That is Jason Smith. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the Memphis Grizzlies conversation with the authority on the Memphis Grizzlies. Kiss Chris Harrington next, right here on the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, this is Wes McClooney, owner of the New Balance Memphis store. It's back to school, and I have an announcement for your children's feet. Okay, feet, this school year you need to help our children stand strong. You need to support them as they transition to a new type of environment, whether they're learning at school or learning online. They need new shoes to help give them the energy and endurance to learn, run, and play under unusual circumstances. They need New Balance shoes. They're designed specifically for younger feet with cutting-edge technology, and they come in some pretty cool colors, too. And when you shop at the New Balance Memphis store, our in-store fit experts will scan and measure your feet, resulting in a shoe that fits you perfectly. Come to the New Balance Memphis store to get the exact fit you need and help support your local store. We'll treat you right. Stop by and give us a chance to earn your business. New Balance Memphis, located in the Cordova Town Center on Germantown Parkway behind the Outback Steakhouse. New Balance Memphis, your feet will thank you.
I had cancer for the fourth time.
I have bipolar disorder.
I was hit by a car.
I have a rare disease.
I have Down syndrome.
Children's health care in the United States is severely underfunded.
We can't wait while the debate over a funding solution continues.
Kids can't wait. Give to the Children's Miracle Network Hospital's COVID-19 Impact Fund. Text CHILD to 51555. CHILD to 51555.
This August, you could win $20,000.
$20,000.
Or even $200,000.
$200,000.
Introducing two new instant games with two ways to play.
Two ways to play.
And two ways to win.
Two ways to win.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double match and double match bonus.
Double the fun. Double the chances. Double the cash. Double match and double match bonus. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing fun. Please play responsibly.
Get ready to get your game on with the Tennessee Lottery and fill up your day with fun. Like when you need to upgrade the fun on that road trip. When you could use a little, did I just win $50 fun? Woo! Yeah!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.